This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We are starting with words from Parshas Boy. In Betzina de Nohire, the Baruch Meshbirah brings a word from Mendel Barer, that's a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He says on the Pusik, the Chol B'nai Yisrael Hoya Oyer B'mashvoysam. So it says like Abba Makas Choyshech. He teaches that all of B'nai Yisrael, every Yid, has a Oyer. Everyone has their Oyer, their Lechtikait, their light, and their shine. And B'mashvoysam, it just depends on where's the person gonna sit it in. Wie setzt man das ein? A person can have his Lechtikait and his shine and his Koyach in Torah and Tefillah and Avodas Hashem. And then, unfortunately, some people put their light and their energy into other things. Some people put it into gashmias, eating and drinking and sleeping, and other people put it even in worse things, he says, which isn't even worth mentioning. The point is that if everyone knows that they have that amazing koyach, which is the Ora Neshama, right? It's a spiritual koyach, and now it's up to you to decide where you want to invest that Ora and that energy, and that just goes to show that we all have the amazing power, and it's just up to us where to channel it. And what this reminded me of, this word that each Yid has his oir, and it just depends where you put it. When it comes to children, when it comes to chinuch habuah, when it comes to raising children, it's important to see every child as a sunshine. Every child has his light, every child has his wave of succeeding, and every child could succeed and could shine. And the question is, where is he? He has to be b'mashvoysam, in the right place in order to shine. I once heard this word repeated from Reb Kopelman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Litzei, and I may have mentioned it in the past. He said that we know that Hashem made everything on the first day of creation. Everything came into creation, everything was created, everything came into being and existence, and that's what Rashi says. And slowly, throughout the week, the first 6 days of creation, everything was just put in its place. So we know that before the third day, when the Mo'iras weren't yet in their place, the sun and the moon and whatever else, you know, the stars, so the world was choshech, choshech up nice home. No, she says that it was mishtam shem bar vivji, but in the beginning, why was it choshech? Where did Hashem hide the sun? Hashem made a sun, which is a huge light, and it wasn't in its place, but it was shining. So how could it be that the world was dark? And he says, it seems that even the sun, when it's not in the right place, it doesn't shine. And he said it legabe, chinuch habuah, and children, everyone has to be in the right place, in the right element in order to shine. And sometimes, you know, when you see a child that's not shining, it means that he's not in the right place. And this is something that, of course, rests on the responsibility, lies on the shoulders of adults, of parents, of educators, of whoever it is that could help the children be in the right place. A child doesn't know when he is or isn't in the right place. And a child doesn't know why he's not shining. All he knows is that he's not feeling good about himself and that he's not doing well. But so often, if we would just try to make sure each child is in his element, in a comfortable place where he could shine, you know, that alone will bring out the oir that all of B'nai Yisrael have. It just has to be b'mashvoysam. So with that, let me read a letter, a topic that we discussed quite a few times already. Dear Rabbi Gruen, firstly, thank you so much for your insightful and articulate shiurim and for always sharing such important lessons with all of Klal Yisrael. You're welcome, and thank you. I had a question which I feel may be relevant to many people, and I would like further guidance on this matter. What should an adult do if they witness bullying between children? Should they intervene and stop the bullying, or will that make the circumstance worse? For example, I'm a young married woman, and I witnessed my 12-year-old sister-in-law being bullied by several other children in the bungalow colony. I was contemplating if I should say something or keep quiet. On the one hand, saying something may rectify that it shouldn't happen again, but on the flip side, it can worsen the situation and fortify the bullying because they will use the defense against her. Another example, my husband works with children during the day, and sometimes other children bully or say nasty comments to the boy who he's working with. In such a case, what's the right thing to do? I know you gave a share about what to do when your own child is being bullied in school. The question is, what if it's not your own child and you're witnessing it while it's happening? Wishing you further atzlocha in everything you do. I'm looking forward to your response. A grateful listener. Okay, no, it's a good question, and it is a bit different than what we discussed in the past about parents, but you know, it's always good to keep on discussing topics like these because it happens so often. I mean, the first thing that is just important to acknowledge is that bullying is relatively normal. Now, when we say the word normal, it doesn't mean that it's acceptable. It means that it's common. It's a normal thing. It happens all over the place. And it's good to know what to do about it, and also not to go into panic mode when you see children doing silly things. That's what children do, unfortunately. It takes time to until they get older and they realize how wrong it is, or until they let themselves be taught. And hopefully it stays by children, and unfortunately it doesn't always. But it's definitely something that we have to be aware of and be careful about. And sometimes it's even expected. I think I spoke about this in the past, about leaving back a child. I once had a question about one of my children. I'm leaving back a child, and I asked Udom Gudel for advice about it. Should I leave a child back or not? Obviously, when it's very necessary, you know, it's a different situation. But there was a question if it was necessary or not. And part of the answer, and a big part of the answer was, is he going to see his old friends from his previous class every day? And is he going to feel put down by them? So it would be beautiful to teach children when they're very young that you don't, you shouldn't chep a boy who was left back. You shouldn't make fun of anyone, and be respectful and sensitive. With little children, it takes a long time until they learn that. And sometimes you have to know to expect that if a boy is left back with the babies, you know, he's now with the nursery boys from last year, and they already moved on to the next class. You could expect that boys will say something mean. And that's why you have to be careful to make sure you're not doing something that will subject your child to being bullied in that sense. My point is just that it's common, and it's sometimes even to be expected, and we still have to learn how to deal with it. There are those that take the approach, and when it comes to bullying, we have to teach children to not be bullied and to be more confident and know how to answer back. And it's wonderful, and it's true. There's a lot that we could teach children about not letting themselves be bullied and not enabling and not tolerating when somebody's abusing them. But to say that it's just on the child would be incorrect. I heard this from people that are dealing with this long enough to know that you can't expect children to get it right on their own. They're still young, they're vulnerable, and there are always the children that are stronger than them. And that's why we don't leave children alone. Children always have to be supervised and always have to have older people around them. For that reason, you can't go on vacation and leave your kids home alone and expect that everything go well. It doesn't work like that. Part of the description of the responsibility of a principal in a school, a principal's not a teacher. Principal's not teaching. What's part of the job of a principal? To make sure that school is a safe environment. And every camp and every school and every shul and everywhere there should be adults that are making sure that children are safe. And part of being safe just means being safe from each other. Not just recently, I was involved in dealing with two situations of children who bullying literally put them away. I'm talking about kids who were doing just fine, relatively fine, successful personally and doing well with friends and in general. And when they started getting bullied and things got a little out of control before it was dealt with properly, by that time the child was just a shell of himself. He just wasn't the same anymore. It's so sad to see what a child going through a period of being put down and ridiculed and bullied could do to a child. So of course, you know, not everything could be stopped, not everything will always be noticed, but it's definitely important to know the effect of a child being bullied. It could take a very long time for him to overcome that feeling of day after day being the loser and being put down and being screamed at and pushed and pulled and whatever else, whether it's verbal or physical, happens to children. Now, you mentioned the difference between a parent and just an onlooker. So I think what's important to understand is that parents have more responsibility to children when it comes to being mechan of them. Not a question that people don't appreciate very often when other people try to be mechan of their children. Right, you have people in shul who are trying to make the other boy quiet. He shouldn't be talking in shul. If it's disturbing the shul, is one thing. You be quiet. But sometimes it's, you know, about telling the other boy how to daven, or what to say, or what's polite or what's not polite. I mean, it's very important people to realize their place. Even grandparents have to realize that a grandchild is a grandchild, not a child. You know, to some extent, everything's relative. But people don't appreciate when other people try to parent their children. Now, the well-meaning people, they think that either the parent will actually appreciate that they're saying something, or they don't even realize why it's a problem. Don't you agree that your child should be doing something better? Very often, parents don't want their children to be told what to do by other people, and it leaves the wrong message and whatever else, especially when parents decided for whatever reason that they don't want the child to be told something. It's not the place of other people to be mechanach, other people's children, and mixing into the chinuch, and then giving comments to the parents and everything else. When it comes to a child being bullied, however, you're watching someone suffer, this has nothing to do with children anymore. Every onlooker, every Yiddish middah, to make sure that you're not watching anyone be abused or damaged or hurt or suffer from any kind of difficulty, right? It's a Yiddish tendency to not allow someone to go through a struggle. right? When you see people stopping on the highway, 80% of the time, it's a yid stopping for another yid, right? And all the stories about the people who had a yarmulke in the glove compartment because they knew if they put on the yarmulke, people will stop for them. And sometimes you have even a yid stopping for a goy, for that matter. Somebody told me he was in the neighborhood and he was stuck and he didn't have a phone or whatever. It was a goyish neighborhood and he stopped quite a few goyim asking them, you know, if they could help him with a phone or with a ride or whatever. And he was like talking to the wall. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it until he got a police officer who couldn't turn him down. When it comes to a yid, you know, go to any Yiddish neighborhood and stop someone on the street and tell him that you don't have a dollar, you don't have a way home. If he can help you with something or call someone, he's just not gonna walk away. So this is definitely a Yiddish tendency, and it's actually a deraisa, right? We find the Torah tells us when you see somebody lost something, l'sich l'salim, you can't just walk away and say, oh, I don't care. You notice somebody lost something, even if you don't know who it is, you should try to find out, make sure that if you have reason to believe that it was a yid, you have to take care of it. Right? The pusik yisirach amor sanach u'revis baderach tachs masoi. You see your friend's animal suffering, you have to make sure that you v'chadalt ma'zoivle. The pusik said, what are you going to do? You're going to walk away and not notice? B'lushim bitmi. How could that be? Uzav tazavi. Of course. It's interesting how the pusik actually expresses the question. Could it be that you're just going to walk on and make believe you don't see it? So this is something that, you know, forget about l'samad adam re'echu, when you see somebody actually being put through whatever pain. So yeah, it's clear that when you see a child being bullied, you have to do something. That's the first thing. Just know that you have to do something. You can't just watch it happen. And it's very sad when you just when people just walk away and maybe they didn't notice it without bringing it to someone's attention or trying your best to do something about it. There's an interesting pusik of Mishlei. I just mamash came across it this past week. Mishlei Parik Chuf Dalet. Hesrapisu biyam tzuru tzar kaychechu. Hatzel lakichem lamobes imutum laherik im tachshich. Ki soem ein lo yudani zeh haloi toichin libos hi yuvam v'noi tzanafshchu hi yaydu v'haishav ludem gefolei. You can look it up, but the point is that if you're watching someone go through pain and you don't do anything about it, and you're not stopping someone else from suffering, then unfortunately it can happen to you. And if you're going to make believe, you're going to say, well, I didn't know, I didn't see. Well, Hashem knows that you saw and you noticed. And Hashem is Haishav Le'udam Kefa'ala. If that's how you look at someone else's pain and don't do anything about it, that's what Hashem could do Chas V'Shalom to such a person. And it's something that we all have to be careful about. I remember when I was once in a Chayder, and once, for whatever reason, I was in a Chayda building and it was during recess, and I saw a child with special needs being screamed at and bullied, and it seemed like it was something that happened often, so it wasn't like I just noticed something that never happens and I felt like I have to, you know, bring the information. It seemed like for whatever reason it was going on, and I assumed that the people who should be in charge probably knew about it, but I still made it my business to knock on the door of the manal. And I said, you know, I don't know if you're aware or not. I assume you are, but I don't know. But I saw this happening, and I'm just bringing it to your attention. I wasn't too impressed with the answer that I got, which is irrelevant for this discussion, but the fact that I just thought the right thing to do is to not, you know, if I noticed it and I witnessed it, and the children that are involved are not old enough to be told what to do, then I have to make sure I bring it to someone's attention, and that's why there's a manal. So I think that's a very important thing. Now, let's just go on to the next thing, which I understand your question. Your question was that maybe if you start saying something, then the kids will use it against this child. Oh, so that one said, or this one, or that. Of course, intervention always has to be done with a lot of chokhmah. And this is something that people stammers make this mistake whenever you're intervening in any situation. In any situation. I'll talk about other situations in a moment, but whenever you're mixing into something, this is sometimes where, unfortunately, when people are inexperienced, and they do things too quickly without figuring out the best way to do it, or without asking the best way to do it, or without talking to somebody who could do it better than them, then yeah, very often, binyan urim stira, when young people think they're building and they're accomplishing, they're really causing damage. That happens often. It's very well-meaning. I mean it when I say that. Very many people try to help others that are struggling, whether it's in relationships or other things, or even financially or personally or whatever it is, physically. And very often, the inexperienced person with good intentions is actually causing damage. So many things have to be dealt with by a professional or somebody who's more knowledgeable. You want to help someone who's struggling physically. They have certain symptoms. So you just give them something to take, and now they feel better. Maybe they're neglecting something that they should have been checking out. Or somebody who's struggling financially, and you just throw some money at him, or you lend him money, that is just making things worse because he won't know how to pay you back, and he's just getting further into debt and things like that. When it comes to relationships, sometimes people mix in, you know, to help somebody else who's struggling with their shalom bias, and they're making things worse because all in the name of helping them. So I think this question about, you know, should I intervene, it might make things work, is a wonderful question that people should always take into consideration and figure it out. You know, in the moment, when you see a child being bullied, I don't mean to prove it from what I did, but when I saw that situation going on in the Chadi building, I didn't start screaming at the kids. I didn't think it would help. I didn't think it would help for me as a visitor who nobody knew who I was anyway, and they wouldn't be scared to start screaming at a group of 20 boys that were, you know, that were putting down a special needs kid. For whatever reason, I didn't think that would do anything, either because they were all united or because they wouldn't take me seriously. So of course, he might even look worse off, that boy, and that's something that you always have to take into account. Sometimes you would approach one or two children later on their own. The fact that you're an adult and you're talking with confidence will make them scared. When you approach a child, anyone approaching a child should never turn it into a major confrontation, because sometimes that, for whatever reason, this child thinks he's not doing the wrong thing, either because that boy bullied me first or because whatever, I didn't mean. Yeah, just like you talk to an adult, I'm sure you didn't mean it. You probably didn't want to hurt that boy, or maybe you didn't notice. You know, you could justify anyone's intention as long as you're not justifying what they're doing and their actions. And then knowing how to follow up afterwards and making sure that child feels safe later and not, you know, at the mercy of these children who might want to get back at him because they were told what to do because of him. These are all things that have to be taken into account, and to make sure that there are people that are going to be watching and following up and making sure that it won't be anything worse. And then, yeah, there's of course the other part, like I said before, that very many people know about today, about giving children the confidence. Don't be afraid. If somebody says something to you, you have to know how to answer back. Don't turn it into a fight, or you don't have to be afraid to come tell out. Nothing's going to happen if you tell out. It's sad when children are threatened that if you tell anyone, this is what's going to happen. And it's important in general, any kind of abuse or different things that happen with children, a lot of it happens because they're afraid to tell out, because they were warned that if they tell out, something terrible will happen. And it's always important to give children the confidence that you don't have to be afraid of anyone. Nobody can do anything to you. And mommy, tati, teachers, principals, manalim, whoever it is, will take care of you. Don't be afraid. It's that confidence alone that sometimes could help a child deal with things in the moment in the best way. So back to the question. I can't tell you exactly what to do in the moment. And sometimes in the moment there is nothing to do. But later, both talking to a child or talking to children who are bullying or talking to somebody who is in a position of authority is definitely the right thing to do. And it would never be correct or even wise or helpful to just let things like that happen. Chas v'shulam. And like I said, there's nothing uncommon about it. I don't want to say there's nothing wrong with it, because it's obviously wrong. But it happens. It happens all over the place that children do the wrong thing. And that's what adults are there for, to teach them. So obviously, if it's your child bullying someone else, you take it. Sometimes it's just easier to deal with because it's your child. You feel that you're obligated to mechanach them. But even when it's not an issue of being mechanach, just watching something happen means if Hashem made you see it, like everything, the way the Baal Shem Tov teaches, anything you saw is for you to know about and to do something about and to learn from. But if you saw it and you're there, and there weren't, and the other people who should have been doing something either didn't know about it or didn't do something about it, you definitely want to do something about it. But I do want to reiterate that point that I said before, that any intervention has to be done with chokhmah. Just recently talking to a parent of a married child who's struggling in a marriage. Now, it's a very, very touchy situation. Parents mixing them with married children, lives in general, and marriage in particular, and knowing what to say when, knowing what not to say. It's a very touchy topic, right? I've been discussing it, and people have been sending me a lot of emails about it, and I'm collecting a lot of information on this topic about the relationship between children, married children, and their parents, both ways, things that people should know. So not a question that you have to be careful about how you say something and if you say something and when you, but to watch a child struggle and say nothing, you know, that's I think the same thing. Who else, if not for a parent, could notice that something's going on, and who else, if not for a parent, cares enough? And yeah, it just has to be done with chachma. Telling your daughter or your son, you know, I see you struggling, I see your spouse is abusing you or mistreating you or whatever, that alone could be very damaging. So is that a reason to say nothing? No, it's a reason to try to figure out and find out, you know, what do we do over here? So this is all something that, you know, it's always a very big factor to take into account, that maybe the intervention alone could be causing more damage, but it doesn't mean that's a reason to do nothing. Okay. I'll just finish off by saying that, you know, being that it's common and being that children are often at the mercy one of another, and even with adults, that's a whole separate topic, but, you know, in general, we need so much Shemaya and so much Tefillah. There's a well-known Oyev Yisroel, where he talks about the mitzvahs we do that are shmira for the children. There's so little that's in our hands. there's so little that you could control what happens with your children. What happens to them, what someone does to them, what someone tells them, what they're exposed to, what they want to do, what they do to other people. You can't control your children, and we can't control what other people do to them. It's all Siyat Deshmaya, it's all Tefillah. And yeah, when Hashem does allow you to see something, then do something about it. And not only when it's your children, but others as well. But we for sure need a lot of Siyat Deshmaya, a lot of Tefillah to make sure that they're being taken care of. It's only Hashem that can really watch over them. And like we started off with, all children could shine. We have to help them be in the element to shine. So if a child is not shining because he's being bullied, then yeah, we could definitely help them get into that element. So I'll just sum it up by saying that bullying is sadly common and to be expected. And even if you're not a parent and it's not your place to be mechanech a child, you should definitely help out. And you should do it with chachma and try to address it in a way that you are making sure will not cause more damage. And with Hashem's help, your children and all children will be in the right place, in the right element, and they'll all shine and bring us a lot of nachas.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.